open a work session on 2009. And here are the amendments. Tom, will you join us here, please? Here are the amendments I think we're going to work on today. I think we're going to work on 54, 55, 56, 57, 59, 44, 47, 48. Is that all of them?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll start the other way. We'll start at 44. Do it numerically.
Do you have 44? Mr. Chair, would it be possible, is the intention to walk through each of these? Can we have a slight recess to look these over?
No, that is, the intention is to walk through it and take a recess anytime we need to.
All right.
So, where are we starting?
Tom, it says in the dash 4s, 2116,
48 and 54.
That it's the Kids Connect. Is that all the stuff out of? What takes the stuff out of?
Mr. Chair, I apologize. When it was handed to me, it was labeled Kids Connect. Upon reading it, I discovered it cleans up the tax, it puts in the expansion, and puts in the Kids Connect.
All right, great. Okay, so let's go back to 2009.
Mr. Chair,
excuse me.
Can we go over those again? Because I don't believe I have.
Okay, and I haven't looked to see what I actually have here.
Okay,
but let me tell you what I have in my list of things to do. I believe I have 4-44. I mean, the ones I want to consider,
which you heard last on Wednesday.
We heard that?
You discussed it Wednesday. You didn't.
No, we didn't put it in. Yeah. Discussed on Wednesday. Dash 47.
Also Wednesday.
Dash 44 creates a new insurance program for a small employer community, proposes it in the authority. Dash 47 modifies the antitrust language in the bill, provide when working both with the exchange and the development of a health benefit pack. Dash 48 deletes all the assessment, all the test stuff contained in 2009. Dash 54 are technical cleanups and the item that delegates, we talked about that as well, that has mutual delegation authority. Turned out we had an option to get rid of all those long amendments at the end, and all we had to do was move DHS into the agency. I thought that might have some political ramifications. It didn't seem like the best path. So we don't have that. But this does say both of them, the agencies form, the board is formed, and basically it'll be run under DHS's budget and DHS's authority because there'll be the joint delegation. Dash 55 makes a strong statement about containment, cost containment goals using reimbursement rates. Dash 56 removes the Medicaid expansion. Dash 57 adopts Senate Bill 456. Dash 59 is the health IT. These are ones that were passed in the Senate.
59 is what?
59 is the health IT bill that was adopted in the Senate. We had a copy of it. It's Dash 59 is Senate Bill 452. Dash 57 is Senate Bill 456. There are a couple of more Senate bills, aren't there, Tom?
Mr. Chair, I also have just handed the secretary, committee assistant, sorry, I'm tired, A60, A61, 62, which do Senate Bill 457, 455, and 451. All of those bills have been passed by the Senate Health Committee. Down to Ways and Means.
Tom, which amendment is the one that has the health insurance regulation cleanup?
That is would be in 54, I believe. Oh, the health insurance.
Language you got from Mr. Becker, who's sitting back there.
We don't have that amendment.
So we're not done with the amendment?
We're not done with the amendment. That is not in here current.
Does LC think we're done with amendments?
I can't answer that. I have not asked her.
Would you check that and see, please?
I will be happy to. Would you like it done now, or should we wait until you...
Let's stand at ease. Okay. Please do it now. I'll give you a chance to look at those amendments. Where are the new ones coming?
Yeah, they're coming. 60, et cetera, are coming around.
I'm also getting some copies made of 47.
Call the meeting back to order. We are in work session on House Bill 2009. And Mr. Vice Chair, will you please move the amendments one at a time as we talk about them? Starting with 44.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move House amendments dash 44 amendments to House Bill 2009 dated 4/13/09.
We have a motion to adopt dash 44 amendments to House Bill 2009A. This is in a motion that's come to us that's similar to a bill that I had in the last session. This came to us, I think, courtesy of one of our insurance companies talking about trying to help in response to things Representative Maurer and I have talked about and others, trying to create a small business group market streamlined benefit that might make it easier to expand health insurance coverage to the small group market. It's working in consultation and all that sort of thing. And again, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything yet. It just gives the agency the urging to move it along. So any discussion of this amendment? Is there any objection to this amendment? Is Representative Kotek here?
She was. She just stepped out. Shall I grab her?
Yes. Why don't you?
Do my best.
Get her, please.
I failed.
I think I can note in this one is we've been working very closely with a lot of different groups to try and create a bill that represents interests and reduces threats of a lot of people. I think when we end up passing this on Monday to the Ways and Means Committee, it will make nobody perfectly happy and it will make some people somewhat unhappy, but I think it's an attempt to get broad compromises. So we have a motion on the floor to add the dash 44s. There was no discussion and as yet no objection. Dash 44 is in. Dash 47 in front of us. Can we have a...
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash 47 amendments to HB 2009A dated April 13th, 09.
And time, why don't you tell us what each of these are about?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members, for the record, I'm Tom Burns, serving as health policy consultant to the chair. This is the old Section 25, the original antitrust language. It has been rewritten completely. When originally approved by you in the Dash 10 amendments as incorporated in the A and Growth Bill, it came to our attention that it was written only for the exchange. There needs to also be the ability to discuss the health benefit package, so this language will allow the authorities to work under the direction of DCBS and the authority on both the exchange and the health benefit package.
Is there any discussion on the dash 47 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I still am opposed, not necessarily to this amendment, but to the section. I understand the intent, but I still am not comfortable with the language.
Are you opposed to the principle that they can work together and be safe sheltered from antitrust action? Is that your problem, or is it the issue that that stuff about conspiracy and all that in the boilerplate language?
Yeah, it actually has the conspiracy piece does concern me. The antitrust protection. Bless you. I quite honestly don't know the long-term ramifications, but that is not a small change in how we conduct business in the state of Oregon.
And you do understand, let me put on the record the requirements that he should be reassured that this language came from Jim Gardner through his experience, that among the conditions that there needs to be a public purpose, these things need to happen in public, and they need to be supervised by one of these agencies or another. So, I mean, right now, even in public, they can't
just let because Jim Gardner says it.
No, right? Good. Okay. Is there any other discussion on the dash 47s? Could you call the roll, please?
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Representative Dembrough?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative Kopeck?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Greenwood?
Aye. Dash 47s are in 209. Senator Harker, the dash 48s, please.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the dash 48 amendments to House Bill 2009, dated 4/13/09.
Mr. Burns, what do we got here?
Deletes all of the tax assessments from the bill.
Are we pretty certain that we have them all?
Yes, sir.
Since we deleted 36 through 54, why can't we put some of those other amendments into those numbers?
I think you will find they are used for other things that you...
Okay, just checking. Is there any discussion on this? Any objections?
Nope, discussion.
Discussion, yes.
Right there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will support this amendment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, let's have discussion.
With reservations, because I... still a firm believer in keeping a package that's 2009, that's reform, the provider tax and coverage. I will support separating them as long as we make sure that the reform elements in 2009 stay intact and that if when we move 2116, we are doing this all together as a combined package to move health care reform forward in the state. So just wanted to express my reservations. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My comments are in the same vein. I continue to have significant reservations about moving forward with a expansion of our state-assisted medical programs without the reform pieces alongside them. And my hope and my expectation is that as we sever these two pieces, that they will continue to move forward side by side in this process. So it is with real significant reservation that I will support this amendment.
And I appreciate that. We have assurance, which we put on the record, and there are many a slip twixt cup and lip, as everybody knows, that they will at least move to the House floor in tandem or in about tandem. From then on, it moves a little bit out of control, but out of the House's control, at least anyway. Any other comments? Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just right along the same lines. I had conniptions about this the other day. I won't go into them again now, but strong feelings about the need to move these things forward. If they're separate in bill number, they need to meet my criteria. They both need to move forward in parallel.
Mr. Thompson?
Well, I'm probably echoing the same thing, but what happens if we keep these divided and the policy bill passes, but the funding bill fails? I guess what my question is, what's the point of separating these if we have to have both of them to make it happen?
Well, that's an easy question. If the expansion bill fails, then this will still go to Ways and Means as good policy, and it'll be up to Ways and Means to find the revenue,
okay,
or to delete the fiscal. We'll give it back to Representative Kotek to deal with. I heard the other concern, I think, on Representative Cannon's perspective is that passing an assessment and an expansion without the kind of ability to begin to reform the healthcare system makes that less sustainable. And so it's, I think, both sides are at issue. And I think the leadership of the House and the Senate who have made this decision,
okay,
believe that it can be handled in a more effective way this way. And I think, other than trying to create a unicameral legislature between now and June, which I think probably is not feasible.
It's temporary.
This is going to go that way. Representative Denbrough?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to echo the comments that were made, and I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to passing both of these bills out of this committee, but then in some ways I think our work really begins, and we do need to really keep them, keep an aggressive eye on moving them forward in tandem.
Representative Garrett?
What he said.
Right. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I want my colleagues to rest assured that I have an amendment that would require that these two go forward, and that if they passed out of this assembly and signed by the governor, that they would be referred to the voters. So, and they would appear probably tandem on the ballot. So you have that comfort.
Yeah, I was explaining in another committee how I how I had an amendment that makes tobacco a prescription-only product, so they could rest assured that something bad would happen.
And Mr. Chair,
I think they're sort of in parallel, those two.
Mr. Chair, they would likely be on the ballot right next to HJR 18. So.
And that's actually not a bad place for them to be if they were to go to the ballot. Okay, I think we better take a roll call on this one, please.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Representative Denbrough?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker?
Aye.
Representative
Kenemer? Aye.
Representative Sojak?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative
Thompson? Aye. Representative Bruin? Aye. Chair Greenlee? Aye. Dash 48 is a part of 2009A. Let's go to 54.
Mr. Chair,
sir,
with your permission, I move the dash 54 amendment dated April 17th, 09, to House Bill 2009A.
Mr. Burns?
Mr. Chair and members, you actually discussed this amendment on Wednesday. It appeared in front of you as the dash 50 amendment. Since then, two things have occurred. One is we have deleted the word behavioral, which was should have been in the original bill, and we added some language to the exchange that reads maximizing the participation of private insurance plans offered through the exchange.
I'm sorry, where is that, Tom?
That is on page 1, line 15.
Of the amendment.
This is new?
Those words are new. Yes. They were discussed actually as part of the dash 10, and they fell off in getting them to LC. That was my mistake.
Oh, and they're not bolded because they were there before?
I can't answer why they're not bolded
okay.
There, Mr. Chair.
Always used to looking for the bolded stuff. Okay, any discussion on the 54s?
Mr. Chair, I just have a problem with the series of amendments not having any moments to put them into context or put them into the bill. I just have a difficult time.
I think this is an important reason. I mean, one of the reasons why I think it makes sense, even if we had all the amendments, to wait until Monday to finally pass the bill. If you all have a chance to take it home over the weekend and see things that concern you, we'll bring them back up for discussion on Monday. This is a problematic thing. This one, although we actually did discuss a bit more on Wednesday.
Mr. Chairman, two things. One is I appreciate this language. The other is, on Monday, will we have a hand-engrossed bill?
I just saw this start there, but I'm just trying to figure out how to ever put this thing together. I can't possibly read these amendments into a bill.
Well, let me see if we could possibly paste something together.
Let me think about that, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. I mean, we're again only talking about
with my sister-in-law.
And we have Monday during the day too. Yeah. We're only talking about a
23 pages.
Something in the first, 25 pages. So I think it might be possible to get, if we can get some staff help around, it might be possible to sort of paste it up so we can take a look at what we
just
have.
Just hard to see it in the context.
It is. It is indeed.
And I appreciate your efforts to try and do that, and I realize it's been Herculean for everybody.
This is... I want to make sure everybody understands it, and I want to maximize everybody's opportunity to vote yes for it. And that, I hope, shouldn't hurt that. Are there any objections to the dash 54s? So moved. The 55.
Mr. Chair, members, 55 is another amendment that we discussed on Wednesday. It had a drafting error. It's back in front of you. This put some language in saying that in order to meet cost containment goals, that we will restructure the reimbursement rates to reward comprehensive disease management, quality outcomes, and efficient use of resources. It's here twice. One is a charge to the board to make that a policy. The other is a charge to the authority to use that as they examine how they reimburse providers.
Under medical assistance programs. Okay. Yes, sir?
A question about this one.
Yes, sir.
In line two, it says meet cost containment goals. So, I mean, I approve everything else about prevention, web-based office visits and all that. It's all good. But is this a tool to slice other things?
I don't have a bill in front of me. Do you have a copy of those modified pages of the bill?
Mr. Chair, the way it would read, Representative Mowers, it would be the duties of the Health Authority Board are to meet cost containment goals by.
But what are the ones before in? What other things are in this?
This is the duties of the board.
A whole set of duties.
A through, you currently have A through M. This is adding an N. It would be added on page 8 of the engrossed bill.
Yeah. This is
at the top of page 13 of the printed bill.
And of the
M proceeds. Right there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Page 8 of the printed investment.
Page 12 of the. Isn't this? Oh, this is the.
If you read M to.
I want to see what they all read. Okay, the duties. And there's all sorts of the policy making, oversight,
right.
Established, et cetera. And it presupposes that there'll be some cost containment goals, but it doesn't say anything about them. So that it says, the extent to which there are cost containment goals, this is the way you get to
it. It says establish cost containment mechanisms, which is not a goal.
Where's
back in that would be line 24, here.
And so, okay, right, to reduce health care costs. This modifies right. that. This talks about how to do it.
Mr. Chair, I think as it was drafted, G stays in there as setting the overall goal of looking at all cost containments. N says, as you look at those cost containments, consider structuring reimbursement rates to reward disease management, quality outcomes, et cetera.
Mr. Chair, I'm not opposed to this. I'm opposed to some of the other pieces in that section. But if you're going to do cost containment, and you're going to use a cost containment mechanism, these are at least things that I can support. So I won't oppose this.
Good. Well, I mean, sometimes we're going to have cost containment issues right now in terms of the budget of this year. There's no question. And I think this would say maybe rather than slashing things across the board, try and do things this way when you run into those problems.
Well, Mr. Chair, in my view is the two ways we contain costs right now are, A, we reduce reimbursement to providers, which does nothing for access, and two, we just cut people off the system. We never look at, well, maybe we might reduce benefits, retain a number of people, and give them something. But no, we just flat cut them off. So
I think this is really consistent with the goals and tone of the health fund board report, which said do these kind of things rather than the things you said when cost is a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To be clear, and I think partial response to Representative Maurer, I don't think this is suggesting that the way you deal with a budget problem is necessarily by cutting people or by cutting benefits or by reducing rates. I think it's saying the way you manage the overall cost of a healthcare system over the long run is by structuring reimbursement rates to incentivize the kind of care that we know produces healthier people and lower costs over time. So that's why it emphasizes cost-effective procedures, preventive health, primary care services, web-based office visits, et cetera. So I think this does get at the Health Fund Board's recommendations and has a structural, fundamental, systemic way to attack or deal with cost containment. I think this is among the most significant things that the Health Fund, the Health Authority Board could do.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to decide whether I'm a speed bump or a pothole, and I haven't decided. Amendments I'm a pothole and some I'm just a steeple.
It can be a steeple. This is a steeplechase course, so some you have to go over and some you have to pop through. Okay. You have to run through and get wet. Okay. Are there any objections to the dash 5-5?
I don't think I actually did this. Dove right into the discussion.
I think I would really appreciate if we have a motion on the floor.
Here's one. I move we adopt the dash 55 amendments to House Bill 2009A. They are dated April 17th, 2009.
Is there any further discussion on that? Is there any objections to that?
Yeah.
So moved.
Are you going to work 51 and 52?
No. Not unless I get some... What I'm going to do is work all these, and then while we still have the floor, I'll recognize everybody. Actually, I'm not planning on working all these. It just came to me at 50, I'm going to work 55 and 56. And then I think what would be the best bet for 57, for the Senate bills, which we really haven't discussed, 57, 59, 60. These are all Senate bills, right? 61 and 62?
Yes.
Again, are all Senate bills?
Yes.
I think it makes a lot of sense to give folks a chance to look at those over the weekend since we're coming back on Monday anyway. Any of these can go in here, or any of them can continue to move on its own path through, since they've all been passed in the Senate Policy Committee and gone to Ways and Means. I think there's some advantage for some of the reasons Representative Cannon was saying to put them in here, but I also could be convinced not to. But I think at least we need to make sure we've looked at them in this form before we move them. Representative Thompson.
A question on that subject. If they move separately and pass the House as separate bills, would they not then become incorporated in this on a functional basis when they're implemented, or would they go someplace else?
They would. I mean, for example, I'm just looking at the top of 57, which says there is established in the Office of Oregon Health Policy something, and the Oregon Office of Oregon Health Policy will still be there, and it'll still be able to. I think the process would be, if we don't do this, they'll go from Ways and Means probably back to this committee, although perhaps not, since we've heard some of these.
Mr. Chair, I presume these are not identical duplicates, because I'm looking at dash,
are not identical
dash 59. It actually references the Oregon Health Authority. The Senate did not.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that didn't
they
come
are,
out of the Senate version.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cannon, they are exact duplicates in policy and wording. They, however, have been amended to reflect the fact they are going into a bill that creates the authority.
Right.
But they're not the exact ones that we have House bills on either. The advantage of this is the Senate's actually worked these, put amendments into it, considered it, and then this is the version that it came out of the Senate committee, which is sort of what we were trying to do to begin with, is to make sure we had them in that form.
So you're saying Monday, we're going to wait on those.
I'm going to do 55 and 56.
We did 55.
I'm going to do 56, and then we'll close the work session. With any luck at all, we may have another bill, but if not, I mean another amendment, but if not, we'll have it on Monday for us. And we'll come back, and when we reopen on Monday, we'll consider 5-7, 5-9, 6-0, 6-1, 6-2.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just thought as a part of utility, I wonder if we could just discuss those briefly.
And sure.
I think that might be helpful to kind of have it highlighted.
Let's do this. I would like to get 2116 out today. So let's do 56, close the work session, open up the work session on 2116. It might be very quick, and if it is, then we'll move forward. Then we'll come back in and to begin to discuss this.
Well, Mr. Chair, I actually would like just a minute after we do 56.
After we do 56. Okay.
So to attack 56,
I would say address it.
All right, address. Second bad metaphor I've used today. All right, at least the second one. I move that we adopt the dash 56 amendments dated 4-1709 to House Bill 2009.
Would you like to talk about this, Mr. Burns?
Yes, Mr. Chair. These amendments do two things, interestingly enough. One, they strike the entire expansion program that you had in the bill, the moving to 200% of FPL, the pregnant women, the presumptive eligibility for women, that all comes out of the bill. They also, interestingly enough, as councils want to do, discovered that they missed a section in the middle of the conforming sections, and they have put it on this one.
Oh, 344A. Oh, hello.
344A, which is simply a conforming section to correct the fact that they missed this originally. No other changes than changing the name.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I will support these amendments, similar concerns as before. As we know, expansion of coverage is a critical aspect of bending the cost curve in terms of reducing the cost shift. I understand why I'm moving it out, just saying I have concerns about taking it out of the reform package.
To which I say amen. Any objection? I mean, any no votes? There are objections. Objections noted. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
56. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt the dash 11 amendments to House Bill 2009, dated April 9th, 2009. These were passed out earlier, and this is particularly it's around the evaluation piece. It says the Oregon Health Authority shall biennially evaluate the implementation and outcomes of various sections. The authority shall report to the governor and legislative assembly, and it addresses a bunch of areas such as access to care, access to health insurance coverage, quality of care, consumer satisfaction, health status, etc.
Dr. Smith, can I ask you to join us on this?
And this language was drawn directly from Senate Bill 329.
Do we have copies?
We did have copies earlier.
Today?
No. No, we had them
Wednesday.
Early last week.
Wednesday.
Track of the paper.
Early this week. Janine, you do some of this stuff already. Could you talk about what would be expected in this regard if we did not put this into the bill?
Chair Greenlake, members of the committee, for the record, Janine Smith, Administrator of the Office of Health Policy and Research, and Representative Maurer, this is the section from 329 that, since 329 was a plan, we didn't implement anything via 329. It was always thought that then moving forward we would make sure there was an evaluation component. Much of what is on there is things that we could do with our current data assessment and also would be enhanced by the data collection activities that have been discussed in the Senate bill. Senate bills, the all payer, all claims database, and some of the workforce data, et cetera. So I think the thinking at the time of 329 was if you're going to invest in something, it's always important to make sure we evaluate it and see whether it's successful and working. So it's really your decision of whether you want to have the explicit language or I would assume the health authority at some point would continuously ask us to evaluate many of these parameters.
What I have to put on the record that I really agree with the spirit of this amendment. I originally said I thought I would include this amendment, that I would support it.
We didn't.
What's changed my mind on this is I'm very much worried there's going to be enough of a fiscal that goes along with this, and I could imagine if you take seriously the requirement to do a real evaluation, then, I mean, I think we're talking about $10, $15 million a biennium to do this.
That's good.
We're not going to get
help
that.
Help us.
Chair Greenlich, at the time when we priced 329, it was not included. We were only given a fiscal to do the entire 329 process of about $1.5 million, which included those 110 public meetings and 173-page report. So we didn't have a specific fiscal. Talking to my research staff, we thought that for the most part, we could do most all of this. There is a little bit of an extra evaluation dollars in some of the expansion, looking better at how we do with expanding to all kids and adults. As I said, if the all payer all claims database went through, that would be helpful. So I'm not going to commit absolutely, but I wouldn't say that we would create a monstrous fiscal for this component.
But you're also saying that this is probably something that you will be instructed to do and be able to do under the aegis of the authority.
Chair Greenlich, certainly the Health Authority Board could direct us to look at these same parameters.
Do we have, or I don't think we need a draft, it's relatively straightforward. Is there any further discussion?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, could you repeat the last answer? The question was whether the authority would instruct for this work to be done.
Chair Greenlich, Representative Cannon, the Health Fund Board could direct us to, you know, report back on
the
crowd
health
out.
Board or the,
the Health Authority Board is at Health Fund Board.
Yeah.
You know, health, we do anything anyone asks us to do. So, so we would, yes, you could, and you also could ask us to report back on these parameters as well.
I am going to suggest we not add that because it adds some confusion, but do we have a motion on the floor?
Yes, you do.
Would you call? Yes?
I'm sorry, another question about this. There are not other provisions asking for assessments of this program in the bill?
Not in such an omnibus way. I mean, this asks for the whole program to be evaluated. Would you call the roll, please?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Could you review which sections this applies to?
Being handed out now.
I don't have the amendment in front of me.
No, I have the amendment. I just don't. You list a set of sections up here, and given the chair's comments, I'm wondering what sections we're referring to that will be evaluated.
No, you're asking the wrong person. This is Representative Maurer.
Well, I'm asking to whoever wants to answer.
Okay. Representative Maurer, can you?
Well,
federal benefit package.
It's going to be tricky.
Yes, it was written.
Body Care Institute, the exchange.
Exchange.
Expansion. Well, we won't have the expansion of the medical assistance because that will be removed.
Right.
So that takes out that chunk.
Well, but that's based on the, not on the A and gross. That's based on the
earlier
amended. Of the dash 10, I believe.
Yes.
So our sections may not.
They may not match up.
Essentially, Representative Kotek, it is about evaluating the it is an overarching evaluation of basically everything under the Oregon Health Authority related to those particular areas.
Mr. Chair, Rep. Greenlick, I mean Rep. Maurer and Representative Kotek, they are the basic benefit package, the Quality Care Institute, the Health Care Insurance Exchange, and then starting with 26, 26 through 30 were all removed when you removed the expansion.
But the assumption is it would include those
would,
things.
They you would do that, but they would it was would have to find a reference to the language in 2116.
I think for my discussion, I'm a researcher, and I think about getting an RFP for any one of these. For example, the impact on healthcare costs, or the use of evaluating the use of technology that's gone on through this whole program. Any one of those is an enormous task if we were serious about actually doing these.
And Mr. Chair, we're talking thousands of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're doing a disservice. We are totally changing healthcare in the state of Oregon with this. And to not have an evaluation component, to me, is almost behind comprehension.
We do all sorts of public policy things without formal. I mean, we did Measure 5, change the basic life of the state without a proposal to do an evaluation of people. Of the
that was an initiative, vote of the people. This is a different process, and we have an opportunity to not make maybe that error.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the intent that Representative Maurer has. I'm concerned about how this is written. I am unclear with what we're evaluating, and I think if we're going to put this in here, I think we should be clear. The sections that are referenced don't completely make sense to me. So I guess I would, if we had time, I would suggest rewriting this, because I'm not sure what you're trying to evaluate. Do you want to evaluate the creation of the authority? Do you want to evaluate the process by which the exchange is considered, you know, how many meetings, who was involved? Do you want to evaluate also the process by which the Quality Care Institute Act? I guess, you know, because the items that you have covered for evaluation are more about has what we are trying to do made an impact on the improvement, improving the healthcare system. Now, our Office of Health Policy and Research does a biannual report about the state of the healthcare system. Does that not get us there? I guess I'm just concerned about, I'm not sure what we're asking to evaluate, and I don't think we should.
Let's take the healthcare exchange, for example. If you're evaluating the healthcare exchange, you may say, is the process of the health exchange efficient? Which is completely the wrong question. It's, did the exchange get to the core of what we're trying to do, which is increase access, make care more affordable, increase quality, consumer satisfaction? I mean, all those are really the why we're doing. We're not doing this so that we can feel good about a process. We're doing it because we're trying to improve health outcomes and lower costs.
I agree. Just a quick follow-up?
Yeah, a quick follow-up.
Again,
Representative Cantamar, and then we're going to vote on this so we can get the...
I understand the intent, and I think I would be more comfortable if the amendment, to some degree, directed as one of the things they must do is to create an evaluation on these types of things. I just don't think you're getting there with this amendment, and that's why I have concerns about it. And if there's any way for us to draft something that directs the authority to do an evaluation and that would make you comfortable, I would be supportive of that.
Right.
I just don't like the way this is written.
I would just add, Chair Greenlick and members of the committee, is I believe originally in 329 it was for us to develop an evaluation plan for whatever the health fund board was going to do. And in this case, there is some language that you'll be seeing in 2116 about an evaluation of the expansion is included in some of the pricing. So I'm wondering, you know, one, if you need this now, because you'll have a business, only have a business plan on the exchange at this point. You won't have, a lot of these things won't have been developed yet. So the thing you could direct us to do is develop an evaluation plan for the next steps and bring that back to you in the, when the health authority comes back with, here's phase two, and here's what you've done with phase one so far, which at that point would just be the expansion and some things that will have been started or completed.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Kahneman.
You know, a lot of this is we've been talking about, we want to be sure we use evidence-based and we want to do assessments and evaluations that make sure this, the different things we're doing are doing the things we're hoping that they do. And I think this amendment in spirit is the correct thing. And I'm wondering if, and I don't know that this is a friendly amendment, but I'm wondering if you changed in that in line 7, evaluation to report, if you wouldn't get at that in a slightly less officious and bureaucratic and expensive way. I think the point here is we want to have, before the next legislative session, an opportunity to have some form of assessment or evaluation or report that tells us what the heck really happened. And I just, you know, and I am adamantly opposed to a $10 million investigation, as I suspect most of us are. But I'd like to hear pretty concisely some data and some other information about this. And I think we had health policy suggesting that that's not a formidable or expensive task.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's a friendly amendment or not. I'm just trying to, but that would be my thought about it.
Mr. Chair, can I just say, you know, I think that if you look at the duties of the board, I think that the spirit of evidence really is there throughout. You see words like monitor and continuously refine, you know, et cetera. So, you know, I really appreciate the, you know, the interest in evaluation. I think that really needs to be part of the next steps. But, again, I would agree that we probably don't need to go into this kind of detail in this amendment.
We're just out of time for this one, and I'm not sure we're going to change any minds, so let's try the vote. And see. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Dembrough?
No.
Representative Garrett?
No.
Vice Chair Harker?
No.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative Kotek?
No.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
No. Motion fails, and I close the work session on House Bill 2009 to be reconvened on Monday. And we, it, I thought it was on every single. And we're going to carry it over to Monday, at which time we hope we won't carry it over anymore after that. I do ask you all, seriously, one of the things about getting it all together and you have the amendments and have a chance to get over, the weekend, I hope we all take due consideration about how we vote on this one. And pay attention. This is a lot of, it's fairly important.
And at ease.
We're at ease. Tom, will you talk us through the Dash 4 amendments?
Mr. Chair, members, 2,116 is a bill that came to you as the original provider assessment bill from the administration. The numbers in the bill are blank. It does not have a number for what the tax rate should be. It simply establishes what the rate, how that tax would be calculated, and created a fund from which those expenditure, the proceeds would be spent. What you have in front of you in the form of 2116-4 is returning those taxes back to the exact language contained in current law. The most important one of those had to do with the hospital assessment. And you will see that Section 11 is deleted. Section 11 changed how the hospital assessment was calculated by deleting that section in its entirety. You will no longer have any changes to the current law on how the hospital assessment is calculated. In addition, what this bill...
Can I ask a question?
Okay.
Because there is a current amendment to it here. This essentially deletes the amendment to it, right?
Yeah.
As of concern, has been the issue of bad debts.
Yes.
I've been promised, I throw it 300 or 400 times, that it's going to get changed, and it always shows back up.
How about now?
And I'm comfortable with the dash force.
Okay.
Thank you.
The entire dash force?
We were actually promised a couple of times, too.
Yeah.
This is really the right time to comment, right in the middle of this. Our legislative council has done an incredible job working on 2009.
True and that.
2116. I mean, they deserve, and it's Lori Freeman has been a lead on it, but there's been lots of others. The boss has been working hard on this. This has been an amazing job, and I really want to make sure we put on the record a huge vote of gratitude to what they've been doing, including taking the time to get things done. Okay, I'm sorry, Tom. Keep going, please.
So in addition to restoring the tax assessment for the hospitals back to original law, this amendment also contains all of the expansion that was in 2009, plus the expansion for what is known as Kids Connect. So for the expansion that was in 2009, you will find in here the expansion of the Medicaid program for kids to 200%, presumptive eligibility for women, the continuation of the 12 months automatic renewal of certification. You're certified for 12 months on it, and then it is automatically renewed after that.
For adults as well?
For adults as well, yes. And
where is that, Tom?
Do you mind if I bring up an expert to answer those questions?
I don't mind at all.
Gene. It also has in here the Kids Connect program.
Where is that piece, please?
The 12-month presumptive eligibility piece.
For adults, yes.
I have it on page
14. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jean Phillips, and I'm the Deputy Administrator for the Division of Medical Assistance Programs in the Department of Human Services. And on page 14, you asked for the 12-month continuous enrollment and recertification. It's
page
on
14 of the amendments?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, yes. It's section 38, and it's in 4B.
Can I stand at ease, please? Stand at ease.
back on the record. Who's Mr. Burns? All right, we gained an LC. That's even more important. Ms. Freeman, could you run us through, at least quickly, the Dash 4 amendments, please? And it does appear for the record that that 12-month section is for kids. It's our intention that it be for kids. If it did it for adults, we'll, and we don't want it to do it for adults, we'll repair it in either revenue or ways and means. But I do want to put that on the record. Please.
Mr. Chair.
Did you hear me telling me how wonderful, telling everybody how wonderful you were? I hope you did. I hope you were listening.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Lori Freeman with Office of Legislative Counsel. The Dash 4 amendments to 2116 do a number of things. The primarily the first several sections restore the hospital tax to the way it is under current law. Except that it repeals the sunset.
Those sections all the way to where?
That goes through section, well, page 3. So it would be section, well, yeah, from the beginning of the amendment through section 20 on page 3. Actually, no, I take that back. Section 19. All those section 12 as amended by blah, 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 that all has to do with the sunset and some outdated provisions that since the money's now going into a different fund, we're eliminating the hospital quality assurance fund or whatever it's called that the money currently goes into.
The original law, I believe, had a maximum on that rate. Is that gone now?
It's back to the original
1.5%.
That it's supposed to be equal to. Where is it?
It's in the top of page 2 of the amendment.
Page 2 of the amendment.
Yeah, if you look on 2, it says to the extent permitted by federal law, aggregate taxes. This is subsection 4 levied under this section may not exceed payments under, and this is now referring to the. Where the
great.
Money in the, okay.
Great. Thank you. I got it.
I got two. Okay. Let's see. Then we have beginning with section 20, we're just adding that the money in the health system fund can be used for the private health option in addition to medical assistance defined in 414.025. And then sections 23, 24, 25, and 26 are the create this new health care for all children program, which includes medical assistance, the standard medical assistance under Title 19, which is Medicaid, or Title 21, which is CHIP, and this private health option that's going to be administered by the Office of Private Health Partnerships. And then section 25, it then states the eligibility requirements that apply across all of these programs. And then 26 is just a double amend because we had two different operative dates. Beginning October 1st, 2009, it would be go up to 200%. And then January 1st, 2010, it goes up to 300% of the federal poverty line. So we had to have two different sections and have it double amended. And you'll see the operative dates in the back on that. And section 27 is a new program that allows, and I think, I'm not sure, I think the operative date on this was 2011, 2010 or 2011. I'll have to check that when we get. But for children who
would qualify for SSI except that they have income that exceeds the allowable limits. If their income, family income, is below 300% of the federal poverty guidelines, they can get employer-sponsored insurance if the employer pays at least 40% of the cost of premiums. And then it has a sliding scale for kids with family incomes between 200 and 300%, they pay a percentage of premiums, and below 200%, they pay all of the premiums. And Section 28 is also a new eligibility program for, this is for foster kids who currently are aging out of foster care and losing their medical assistance. This allows up to, through age 20. And then Section 29, we're redefining child and health benefit plans because this section will go in with the Office of Private Health Partnerships section. But this is the new private health option. And again, it pays the full cost of premium for families below 200%, sliding scale between 200 and 300%. And above 300%, a family can buy into the program, but they're not subsidized at all. And then Section 31 is just a catch-all, need to go to CMS and try to get approval to get federal match. And then also the operative dates. So Section 27, which was the children with disabilities, that's January 1st, 2011, or whenever CMS approves it, whichever is later. 32 creates the new fund that the money goes into. 33 and 34 are some provisions that, with respect to community health centers, safety net clinics. And then once you get past 34, then beginning with 35, this is the expansions of medical assistance that are currently in 2009 are being moved out of 2009 and into this bill. So 35 is outreach. 36 is a streamlined application process and application assistance. Uh, 37 is presumptive eligibility for pregnant women and allows certain types of clinics to find a woman is presumptively eligible so that the eligibility for Medicaid can start earlier. This is an option under federal law. And Section 38 allows a 12-month certification period for children. They cite to the federal statute there, 1396A11C or D, refers to children's eligibility. So this says that once enrolled, a child can stay enrolled for 12 months and then be redetermined every 12 months for eligibility. Section 39 is another presumptive eligibility, but this has to do with the cervical and breast cancer program. Section 40 just takes the income limit in the statute up to 200% of the federal poverty guidelines for pregnant women.
In 2009? 39. Is that COTEC, do you know?
Not page, sure, Mr. Chair.
Page 14, Section 39.
This is not in 2009.
Where did this one come from?
This came from the same bill that the 12-month enrollment came from.
An earlier.
The presumptive eligibility for pregnant women came from.
it would be in 2009.
Well, let me just check.
Is this just a cleanup?
Yes, from yeah, it's just to make them consistent.
Yeah, this is just a cleanup of something else.
Yes, to make
yeah,
it consistent
that's not
with
a new
the
piece.
Pregnant women. Yeah.
Right, okay.
But it's not related to breast and cervical, is it?
It doesn't appear to be.
Okay.
There's a process for presumptive eligibility for breast and cervical cancer as well, and so this is just saying that this is this presumptive eligibility is not under this section is different than the presumptive eligibility under the other section for pregnant women. So then section 40 goes up to 200% of the federal poverty guidelines for pregnant women. That has to do with the poverty level medical program for pregnant women and children. Section 41, it's another sort of conforming amendment with respect. It basically says that the any of these premium assistance programs are Medicaid money, and it tells the feds that therefore we should get federal match. And then section 42 just adds the new duties of the Office of Private Health Partnership to administer the private health option.
Don't hit the gavel.
I want to announce there's a possible carryover at 2116 if something comes up. We don't get it out today. We need it before 5 o'clock. My hope is we are going to get it out before we're done, but if not, it shall be carried over to Monday. I'm sorry, Lori. Thank you.
I think I've concluded. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any questions? Thank you very much. You might hang around a bit. Is there any discussion on the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2116? Do we have a motion on this for the Dash 4s? We
do not yet, but I would be happy to provide one, Mr. Chair. And
thank you.
So I move that we adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2116. They are dated 4-17-09.
We have a motion on the floor to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2116. Is there any discussion about those amendments? Is there any objection to those amendments? Those are amended.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move the Dash 3s to House Bill 2116, dated April
16, 2009. Representative Maurer moves the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2116. Mm-hmm. Will you talk to us about this?
This simply refers the ballot measure or this tax increase to the voters at the next general election.
Is there any discussion on this amendment?
I would assume that we will have a roll call vote.
We will have a roll call vote. I will express my opposition to this. I hope that when we finish this bill, we have strong enough consensus in the House and the Senate and from all parties that they'll wring hands around and sing kumbaya.
And
if we don't, then it'll probably be referred by others other than us.
Well, Mr. Chair,
yes, sir.
I just want to hearken back to House Joint Resolution 100, which, and this is a quote from my esteemed chair during that debate, and you said, to the extent to which there is significant change in the government's role in financing or delivering health care, it will require action on part of the legislature and the governor, and ultimately an affirming action of the voters. And so I'm...
That's a stupid statement.
That should be in brass.
Okay.
I can't be both brilliant and consistent. That's the highest
one or the other. Okay. Good thing you're older and wiser now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And while I appreciate the quoting our good chair, I disagree with the quote from our chair. I think we have an obligation to our constituents
to do the job that we are here to do, which I believe is to make good policy and pay for it. I don't believe this is necessarily something we should send to the voters because the need is now, and I do not want to wait to the general election.
Representative Bruin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I applaud and support this amendment. I agree with Representative Kotek in that we do our jobs in a representative democracy to 99 towns out of 100, do the process, do the good law. This is for lack of a better way to describe it, though, a game changer, Mr. Chair. It completely changes the way we do health care in the state and will obviously with that completely change the way we fund health care in this state. I think the people are going to have a voice on this one way or the other, to echo a little bit of what you were quoted as. And so I think there's a much better chance for this to succeed if we're saying it out to the voters and explaining it to them and through a campaign education process than it does coming back at us after we deliver it to the voters and they say, no, thank you. You didn't give us a chance to speak on it or be heard on it.
I can't help but note the irony in this discussion. Whereas in the 2007 session, we begged to get five Republican colleagues to join us in sending a similar bill to the people. And we were always able to get four or three, but never five.
The irony was, yeah, that was an interesting bill. But it's funny how that worked, huh? I think, though, that by voting for it, you sent a signal that you were voting for an increase that most of us did not support. And it was, when it did get to the voters, I think they spoke rather loudly.
They spoke about the problems, as I remember, of a constitutional amendment. I think there was something in the discussion about that. But at any rate, let's take a vote on this one. Lara?
Representative Garrett?
No.
Vice Chair Harper?
No.
Representative Kennemer?
Excused. I'm sorry. I was waiting for his vote.
Hold on. I hear him.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
Dash 3
recall.
Yes is the right vote.
Or the record.
Can we come back to him?
Yes. Please call him again.
Representative Kennemer?
Yes.
Representative Kotek?
No.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Should be a shock. Aye.
The outcome is too, isn't it?
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Cannon?
Nope.
Representative Demro?
No.
Chair Greenleg?
No. Motion fails. Can I have a motion on House Bill 2116 as amended, please?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2116 be adopted with a due pass recommendation, as amended, be adopted with a due pass recommendation, with a prior referral to both Revenue and Ways and Means Committees.
I think that's close enough.
Thank you, sir.
We have a motion on the floor to pass House Bill 2116 as amended with the dash fours to the floor with a due pass recommendation with prior referrals
to Revenue and Ways and Means.
Prior subcommittee referrals to Revenue and to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on the bill? Will you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Harper?
Yes.
Representative
Kennemer? Aye.
Representative
Kotek?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maurer?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Bruin?
No.
Representative
Shannon?
Aye.
Representative Demro?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Chair Greenleg?
Aye. Motion carries. It is on its way to the next stop in a long and torturous journey. I really, again, I really hope you all, we worked very hard to get 2009 as close as we can possibly get it to what lots of folks can accept. I hope you take a look at it, think carefully about it over the weekend. It will be our first order of business. We'll have at least one more amendment, and then we'll look through these four or five, I think, that are, I think, four left, and pass it on Monday if we can. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Oh, next week, for the next four meetings, please plan on being. We've been given permission to go there. We've got, if you look, about 40 bills.